Chronicles, chapter number 20. Book of 2 Chronicles. You say, well, Pastor, where is that? It's after 1 Chronicles. You say, where is that? It's after 2 Kings, 1 Kings. So turn over there to the left in the Old Testament. I want you to get there. Give you plenty of time. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it'll be page 508, 2 Chronicles. I know it's not a familiar, probably, chapter to many. I want to say I got help in my life studying this character yesterday and through the night. I'm glad we've got a Bible that's not out of date this morning. I'm going to discuss a topic this morning that will be relevant to everyone in the building. I want to preach on this text on when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do. Some of you in life, things may be going great today. And I want to say for every child of God, it's always a great day to be saved. I don't want to belittle the goodness of our great God. But you will notice through the pathway of life, there are difficulties that come. You know, a lot of the TV preachers, they'll tell you if you stay faithful at church and give your tithes, and I believe in going to church and giving my tithes, you can ask the bookkeeper. It's worked for me. That's all I know to tell you this morning. They'll tell you that problems won't come. But that's not in our Bible. Problems do come. And when problems come, what do we do? What do we do when we don't know what to do? Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, it's a Bible character. And in verse number 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, there's one nation, the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites came against, here's our character, Jehoshaphat. Underline that. Jehoshaphat. I don't know if you ever heard that in Bowden Elementary School or not, but it's in our Bible. Jehoshaphat. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, look what they tell this man. Now he's king of Judah. He's not the king of Israel, but he's the king of Judah. And he says, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Notice this prayer now. I'm going to give you something in a minute. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Boy, I could preach about an hour right there. And they dwelt therein. They built you a sanctuary therein for thy name. He's saying, now, Lord, I want to remind you about who you are. said, you're not only a big God, you're a great God. He said, there's nothing too hard for you. And I will remind you about who you are. I'm glad we've got a Bible that reminds us who He is. He said, art not thou our God? He says, Lord, not only I want to remind you, you may be seated, how big you are, but I want to remind you whose God you are. You're our God. Now, this man has got into some earnest praying. He's not doing no Sunday school praying. This man's got down out of the bottom of his heart. And can I tell you, I found out it's all right to be truthful with God out of our hearts. He needed something. I want to ask you something today. Let's quit playing church. It may be some people here today that need God to do something for them. I'm so tired of religion and phony services and orchestrated services with agendas. We've got one agenda here, to uplift Christ, to help God's people and be honest before Him, before the Lord. He said, God, I'm going to remind you about who you are. Not that you forgot, but God, I need to be reminded who you are. God, I know you ain't forgot about who you are, but I need to be reminded who you are. You ever been in your life when things were going real hard? It does you good to be reminded of who God is and where God is and how good God is. This man's got a need. He's got a weighty need. He's king of Judah. And here's our text. He said, Lord, He said, you have gave a covenant to this people by your friend Abraham. And by the way, when Abraham died, you didn't quit being his friend. You're his friend forever. Aren't you glad we got a God that the grave don't stop Him? Aren't you glad we got a God that don't forget about you when you've drawn your last breath in this world? When evil cometh on us, verse 9, as a sword, judgment of pestilence, of famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up on thee. This morning, preaching on when you don't know what to do. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time. Bless Thy Word. Encourage my heart today. Help the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. This text teaches us a lot about life. You see, a Christian has three main enemies. They are internal. The old man, the old nature gives me a lot of trouble. You know, my flesh causes me a lot more trouble than the devil does. And so, the Christian's enemies are internal and then they are external. We have a real devil, demons, fallen angels that suppress us, discourage us, accuse us. The Christian's enemies are internal, external, but they're also infernal. There's a warfare that's going on. I would love to tell you, young families, that the devil would send you a box of candy tomorrow for having your children in the house of God. I'd love to tell you, Mom and Daddies, that He will encourage you this evening. Pat you on the back for being around the Word of God today. But that's not the way He works. We have an infernal enemy that He is in the lower heavens. He's accusing the people of God, disrupting the service of God. The devil was cast out of heaven mainly because of pride. His heart was lifted. He wanted people to worship him. And God said, let me tell you something, devil. He said, this is my kingdom. And I'm the only one that's going to be worshipped. And He kicked him out of heaven. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, a third of them angels fell with Him. That's a lot of our problems. He is in this thing of warfare against the children of God. But I want to say, lastly, our enemies are internal, external, and infernal. But our greatest enemy is ourself. Self is the greatest enemy to the children of God. Now let's look at this text and see something about these life's lessons when you don't know what to do. And before I start, I want to say this. There's going to come a time in your life. I want to tell you, as an older man, as an older pastor, there's going to come a time in your life when you won't know what to do. Jehoshaphat has come to this time. And now, I believe with all of my heart in this text, it teaches us about warfaring. Warfaring. Look in verse 12. Now, first of all, you'll notice that he needed God's attention. Look the way he starts out in verse 12. Oh, our God. Now, let's look at his prayer just a minute. You remember he reminded God about who he was, where he was, how big he was. And he was not really doing that to remind God so much, but it reminded him. And we all must realize in this Christian walk of life, we also must be reminded about how big God is and how good God is. May I say, that's the part of the worship, sir. Thank God for these songs that point us to Christ. I'm thankful for every song that's been sung this morning. How it touches me and reminds me of not only who God is and where God is, but how good God is. So we see this lesson about warfare. And now, he starts out this prayer in, he needed God's attention, oh our God. Is there anybody here this morning that needs God's attention? You know, I think a lot of times the reason people don't get help in church because they're so scared to be transparent. You know, everybody wants to have their best foot forward. I believe we ought to, but let me tell you, there's a time when you can't fake it. I mean, I am so transparent. I wish I could get up here and smile every Sunday. I wish I could put on that Joel Osteen look and that hair gel and smile real big and tell you, boy, man, life ain't got no issues, but life does have issues. Oh, God. We see this about the warfare, and he needed God's attention. Then secondly, he needed God's advice. Look what he said in verse number 12. He says, for neither know we what to do. We just don't know what to do. You may be at a place in your life at school. You may be at a place with one of your friends. You may be at a place in your marriage or your family. You may be a place in your job. Just life, and you've come to a place where you realize that you've got great opposition and it looks really big. The enemy's so large and you need advice. I'm glad we've got a God we can talk to this morning. You see, in this warfare, and he needed God's attention and needed God's advice. But look, lastly now, he needed God's assistance. Look what he says. He said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I need you, Lord. I need you. I've got a lot of friends, got a lot of stuff, but Lord, it's going to take you to do this. And so we see a lesson about warfare. I won't take time out because I love preaching this text so much this morning. I want you to notice in Ephesians 6, verse number 10, hold your place. Paul's writing and he says, finally, lastly, my brethren, be strong not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Look at that. Not stand, but withstand. In the evil day, and watch this, and having done all, to stand. Brother Dwayne, thank you for standing in that organization. Church, thank you for standing at the schoolhouse and at your house and at God's house. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here it is, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Praying with specific requests. Now back in our text in 2 Chronicles, I want to show you something in your Bible. Some lessons we learn when you don't know what to do. We see a lesson about warfare. He needed God's attention. He needed God's advice. And he needed God's assistance. He said, our eyes upon thee. But look in verse 13 of our text in 2 Chronicles 20. This text teaches us about warfare, but now it teaches us about weaning. Weaning off of things. Look in verse 13. Something happens. Now he calls out to God. He said, we don't know what to do, but eyes upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord. Look. With their little ones, their wives, and their children. What you thought about the weaning, preacher? Well, you got to know something about the previous chapters why I got this thought about weaning. Now, here is Jehoshaphat. He's king of Judah. He's got everything. Matter of fact, we find something out. Turn with us to the left in your Bible to chapter 17. In verse 12, talk about weaning. Let's look at what he has. I want to say three things while you're finding that, and I want to show you. He does not underestimate his danger. Do you hear me? He's got a decision to make. He's got a problem. He's got a huge issue. And he does not underestimate his danger. Number two, he does not, help me God, help me Lord, he does not overestimate his danger. That's where my mind goes. I never underestimate the danger, but I always overestimate the danger. My mind runs away with me about what's going to happen now. So in this weaning, he does not underestimate his danger, and he does not overestimate his danger. And I want to say thirdly about this, and lastly, why I had you to turn here. Neither does he place any false reliance upon human power. He doesn't underestimate, he don't overestimate, and he does not rely on anything he's got but God. And I want to show you what this man had. Now watch, there's three nations from across the sea. They come and told Jehoshaphat, these 3 million people you've got, they're fixing to slaughter y'all. They've heard about the riches of the temple. They're coming in and taking all the treasures out. They're killing all of your children, your wives. They're going to slaughter you. Look what Jehoshaphat had. Boy, you'd think this would give him confidence. But I say this morning, we better not put our confidence in earthly things. Look what this man had. 2 Chronicles 17:12. Jehoshaphat waxed great, look, exceedingly. And he built in Judah, look what he done, castles and cities in store. He had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, watch this, mighty men of valor were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers of Judah. Any of you mathematicians, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you the number. Watch what he had. The captains of thousands. Adna the chief. With him mighty men of valor. 300,000. Next to him was Jehonan the captain. And with him 280,000. 280,000 more. And next him was the Messiah, the son of Zechary, who with himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, Elida, a mighty man of valor, with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. And next him was Jehozabad, with him 180,000 or 180,000. Look, ready, prepared for the war. Look, these waited on the king. Beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah. You add this up. He had 300,000. He had 280,000. He had another 200,000. Another 200,000 and 180. You say, well, preacher, what is that? That's 1,080,000 trained fighting men at his beckoning call. But he could not rely on man. You see, he's in a hard place, isn't he? A lot of us will say, you got it handled. Man, you got 1,080,000 warriors. These men are trained men. They got swords and shields. They've killed lions. They've beheaded giants. You got this handled, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat come to a place in his life where he said, even though I've been so blessed and I have so much, but what I've got won't help me today. Can I tell you this morning, this lesson is about weaning. How we must realize whatever God has entrusted us with is not enough in some circumstances. You may be full of knowledge, full of wisdom. You may have all the money in the world, all the land that joins you. But there's going to come a time in your life when it won't be enough. But I will tell you what he had his hope in. He said, but my eyes are upon you. Lord, I'm in a place. It's going to take you to do it. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that's in a place that it's going to take God to do it? Maybe getting a child saved. Maybe having your marriage saved, your job saved. Whatever it is, this enemy that's come against you, maybe it's yourself. Can I tell you, must we learn about warfare? Must we learn about weaning? But let me show you how good God is, what happens. Now He teaches about witnessing. When they brought all them little children out, could you imagine when the Bible says that the little ones, their wives, and their children stood before all of them, they had their eyes up toward heaven. You know what it was teaching their children? Our hope is not in this world. But our hope comes from above. I'm glad we can have hope in this world, but it's not of this world. It's hope from above. I'm so encouraged. I may walk home, let Renee drive home today. I'm glad we can have hope in this life. You hear me, children? From the world above. So there's a lesson about warfare and about weaning. But now verse 14, something happens. There's a lesson about weaning. Look what happens in their church service. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levi, the sons of Asaph, came, capital, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." God was faithful to send them a word. A lot of times God is so faithful that a song will say a word, or a preacher will say a word, or even a little child will say a word. But God is so faithful to let us, because you know what? He knows we're human, don't He? To let us know that He's listening. He's very aware. This lesson teaches us about warfare. It teaches us about weaning. Teaches us about witnessing. But I want to say in verse 15, it's very hard. It teaches us about waiting. Look at this simple little truth in verse 15. The Bible said, and He said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King of Jehoshaphat." Now, if they show you something. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed for reason this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Here it is, verse 16. "Tomorrow go ye down against them." Preacher, what is he teaching about waiting? You see that word tomorrow? You know what that meant? So hard on me. They had to stay there another day. They had all night to think about it. Wouldn't it be great as when we come straight to God that tomorrow would be today? But no, it involved waiting, didn't it? Through this process of waiting, God does great things. First of all, God teaches us who we are. We're very little. Not much to us. We're just dirt. God breathed the breath of air in us. I'm more established today in this verse in John 15 where Jesus said, "Abide in me." He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Isn't that waiting hard? That's one of the hardest processes of this text is the waiting. God has told them something, but He was going to do it tomorrow. So here is a lesson. When we don't know what to do, it's a lesson about warfare. It's a lesson about weaning. It's a lesson about witnessing. And waiting. But now look in verse 18. I wish we could get a hold of this. A lot of the men in the prayer room done this morning. I want to show you something. This is very important we see this. I'm about done preaching. Don't want to hold you too long. But you've got to see these next 2 points. Look in verse 18. He teaches us something about worshiping. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You see, it teaches us about worshiping. They were worshiping God even before God had answered their prayer. You know, isn't it amazing what God allows us to go through to simply have us to worship? Isn't it amazing? So many times, you look through so many Bible characters, how many had such a hard time, and really all God was wanting them to do is to come to worship. It's amazing how much worship means to God. The Bible says that He seeks such as those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're waiting to worship God only if He answers your prayers, you're going to be behind on worship. They have bowed their head. The whole assembly has went in to worship, saying, God, You are worthy. Even though they're waiting today, and can I tell you, you may be in that whole pattern of waiting. The best thing you can ever do in your life, listen to me, is worship. That's where you can release everything to Him. I seen a man this week on a bed of affliction, been there a very long time. As music began to play, he threw his hands up and he worshiped. You remember when David lost his child? David done that terrible sin. He seen Bathsheba. The lust of the flesh got the best of him. He sent after. God even tried to warn him and said, isn't this so-and-so's wife? David said, it don't matter. Bring her to me. He committed adultery. He did wrong. Then he had the husband of Bathsheba killed on the battlefield. David had a child. He was born. It died. David said these words that's always helped me in the ministry to young children. David said, he can't come to where I am, but I can go to where he is. Aren't you glad all little children are safe with Jesus this morning? But I simply said all that to say this. The Bible said David washed himself in worship. Worship will help you more as a child of God than anything you can ever engage in except for prayer. Worship. Last night I went in my cabin late at night. Fell on my face and cried, God, I need You to help me. And I began to worship. I woke up this morning. My spirit kindled. My hope renewed. Because my eyes are looking toward Him. Preacher, what's the lesson today? This is amazing what just... This is amazing what just happened. This blows my mind what just happens in our text. It teaches us about witnessing and waiting and worshiping. But now look in verse 20. I'm about done. It teaches us about walking. Look what he said. They rose early in the morning, went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. They went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. Brother Tim, I want you to sing that song for invitation this morning. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed, watch his singers on the Lord. They should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Now watch, they're fixing to face millions. They went out praising and singing. And then they began to sing and to praise. Look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 22. And the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Watch verse 23. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Teaches us about walking. He said, I want you to get up in the morning, keep walking. Brother Wayne said something in prayer room that made a lot of sense to me. You know, out on Lake Carroll, you'll see them big old geese. Brother Mark, Brother Michael, looks like they sailing easy on top of that water, don't it? Man, I mean, they just flow it. But you know what's happening underneath? They are walking, buddy. Now, you know something what the devil would have you to do? Is go sit down and quit. But God told these children, the only way you're going to defeat your enemy is to get up and walk. Go by faith and trust your God. And now lastly, I want you to see this thought in that next verse, and I'm done preaching. Brother Tim, I want you to come be ready. This is a lesson not only about witnessing, worship, and walking, but it's a lesson about winning. Well, preacher, where in the world do you see that? I want to show you. Look in verse 22. Don't miss this. Underline it. Now, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, they should praise the beauty of His holiness. 22, they began to sing and to praise. 23, the children of Ammon, Moab, stood up against the inhabitants of Seir to slay and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Verse 24, here's the lesson about winning. Look what happened. This is amazing right here. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked to the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. 23, about winning. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. Here it is, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. I love what this old writer said, Brother Mike, about this text. He said, we find that in verse 12, they did not know what to do in their weakness. But now in verse 24, they did not know what to do in God's greatness. You see, God gave them more than they could carry away. How many of you this morning has experienced the God that you didn't know how in the world you'd get through it? You didn't even know if you'd make it or not. But at the end of the chapter, God has allowed you to receive more than you can take away. And that's who our God is this morning. He ever blesses His children. And He can be trusted. Today, in this hour, it may be that you need God to do something for you. And you don't know what to do. Call to Him. He'll answer.